Okay, we're going to be looking at Visual Basic today. So the first thing you have to do is go to CIS Software and bring up Visual Studio 2015. Okay, Visual Studio can be downloaded using DreamSpark. And is you can download the community version or whatever it's called from Microsoft, and if you click on that, it will take you to a place where you can download from Microsoft. Okay, so you click here and gives you free downloads. Okay, and you want to go with the Visual Studio community, because that's the one that gives you the free download. The other one only gives you a trial.
The DreamSpark gives you the full mode?
Yes.
And this one just gives you the...
That just... I don't know how far it goes. It, as far as I'm concerned, it's totally useful. I don't think... I've got both, but I use... The community one happens to be on the computer I use the most. And I haven't really picked up on anything significant. Definitely not for this class. The only place that I think I've run into an issue is in the Advanced Visual Basic class. So it's fine for this class. But if you want a free copy of the full version, DreamSpark gives you the opportunity to get that. So your choice. Okay? So let me take a picture of that. So you're going to hit Visual Studio 2015. If you happen to have an old version, an older version of Visual Studio already installed and you want to use it, it's fine with me. Okay? The last class that I taught this in, I think we used 2012. And I may still get some surprises in 15 because I haven't played with 15 that much. So 12 would be fine, and anything that's, you know, fairly recent would be fine. You don't have to have 15. And you'll see that a lot of my examples were written for 10 or 12, and I was testing them last weekend, and they work fine in 15. Okay, so it can go either way. Okay, so once Visual Studio comes up, you can click on New Project if you have something you want to create from new. You can create, click on Open Project if you want to open an existing project. We're going to click on New. So click on New Project. And this is what comes up. Okay? You want to have the choice Visual Studio, Visual Basic rather. You want to have Windows Form Application highlighted, because that's the one you want to pick. You want to have Create Directory for Solution checked. Okay, so if those are the defaults that are coming up on yours, you're all set. Then you want to come down here and you want to name it. Okay? So I'm going to name it first for the 11 o'clock class on November 10, 16, or whatever. I'm just naming it something and that will identify it for me. And notice when I gave it the name, it also went down here and gave it the solution name. In the older version, and I don't know because I didn't think to check it, in 2015, it did not give you both of these. You just put in the name and the location on the community version, and it didn't give you that, which was no problem. But that was 2012, and I didn't even think to look at it in 2015 and see if it's that way. This is the full version as opposed to the community version. I have the community version at home. So I will try to remember to check that, but for now, it's all set. So now, at this point, I've given it a name. I also want to pick the location where I want to store it. So I've said I want to store it on the F drive. Okay? And you should either be picking a location that goes with your flash drive, or you should be putting it out on your N drive. Okay? So you want to pick one of those as your location so that you can get access to it. Now, what it's going to do, and notice I said create directory for a solution, it's creating a directory or folder and storing it in the directory or folder. When you mail this to me, you're going to take that directory and you're going to zip it up. And you're going to send me the zipped version of that folder. Okay, so the folder is going to have a lot of stuff that you don't put in it. Okay, Microsoft does it for you. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that is going to go into it. And when you want to send it to me, you're going to zip it up and send me the zip file. Then I will unzip it and test it. Okay? Okay. So, that's what I need to have on this page. And so I'm going to click OK. And eventually, it's now doing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that are extras that you get. Okay, your screen probably doesn't look exactly like my screen, right? Look at your screen. Does it look pretty much like my screen or not?
Not yet. Still thinking.
Huh? My suspicion is that this isn't there yet. Okay? All right. Notice the little pin at the top over here. See that little pin right there? That pin is turned downward, meaning I've pinned it to something. Okay. If I click on that pin, it's now over at the side. And you can see that the toolbox is now written here, and I need the toolbox. Okay, so when I was playing with this on Tuesday, essentially I clicked on the toolbox. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. I clicked on the toolbox, and that came up. And I think it's coming up without being broken down, so click on all Windows forms, and then it will show you the stuff. And click on the click box, and that puts it in place. Okay, so I suspect that yours came up, because that's what mine did on Tuesday, like that. And you want to click on all Windows forms.
Mine says general. It doesn't display the bottom tree of all Windows forms.
Eric, you're going to be busy today.
Yeah, I know. I'm at the toolbox feature, and it's not displaying the click the toolbox.
So I now have four things that are showing.
It added the toolbox feature. Huh?
I have the toolbox, I have the form. I have something over here called the Solution Explorer, and I have something down here called the Properties. And everybody should have that, those four things visible. Yes, no, maybe? Anybody missing any of those? Okay, apparently he is the only one that has got a screen that looks strange. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll wait a minute and see if that can be fixed, because I don't want to leave you behind. While we're waiting, if you look at the toolbox has things in here that we can drag over to the form. okay? Are you all set?
Yeah. Has to be in design mode.
It's been like...
Okay, so now you've got these things, and now I can design my form. Now, again, my form is going to take input, and it's going to be where I can also put output. So when you were doing JavaScript, you were using a prompt to take in input, and you were using document write to put out output. Here, I'm going to take in input on the form, and I'm going to put out output onto the form. So I'm going to start out, and I'm going to take in have a text box. So I scroll down here, and that's one of the differences that I am seeing is I've got a whole lot of extra attractions here. Now, what happened when I put that over there is that I picked up on this properties, the fact that I just put text box one up there, and that it is a text box. Okay? So I have picked up, because this got dragged over here, and it got highlighted, and so I have picked up that I now have a text box. Okay, now, I want to change the name of that text box. Okay, the first thing is these two little boxes right below the word text box, right below properties text box, tell how this text box is going to be organized. The one that is clicked first organizes it by category. So I have the design category, the data category, etc. The second box organizes it alphabetically. Okay? And that's the one that I tend to use, is the one that organizes it alphabetically. So I use that one there. Okay? It doesn't matter which you use, but if you're going to try to be in sync with me at the beginning, that's the one that I use, is organizing that alphabetically. Okay, so now I am going to come over here and I'm going to give the text box a name. Okay, just like basically when you define things in Visual Basic, you gave them a name. I'm going to give this a name. It's given it a default name called text box one. Okay, but if you leave those default names, it's like you called things in JavaScript, field one, field two, field three, field four, field five. You haven't a clue what you're actually storing in. Okay, so if I'm going to put in here somebody's name, for example, I can say I'm going to call it TXT name with a capital N. Okay. I could have called this anything. I can call it apples, and it's fine. But convention is that if it's a text box, you write TXT in front of it. And that you then use camel case and give the whatever you want to name the field has a capital on it. Okay? So the convention is to call it TXT and give it a name. Okay? And as you can see, there's an awful lot of these tools in here. Okay, there's a button, there's a checkbox. The ones we're going to be using, I'm looking for. There's a label. Um, I think those are the main ones we're going to use to start out. So I can also put a label on. So I can put a label in front of that if I want to, or I can put it anywhere, and that's a label. And labels get the name LBL. And I'm going to put LBL name. Okay, so labels get the name LBL in the front. So I've written LBL name. Now, with LBL, so I've dragged over label. And now I'm going to go down, and these are the properties. So I've got the name of that box is LBL label. But now I'm going to go down and I am going to find where it says text. And that's a property. And I'm going to change that to say name colon. Okay? And as soon as I leave that box, notice that name colon is now inside the label. So I have said name colon, and I've put it inside the label. So now I have a label, and I have a text box right next to it. And the label is telling me that this is the name, and the text box is going to allow me to enter the name. Okay, so this is an LBL name. And again, you've got a lot of different things that you can put in here. Okay? So, for example, I can have the font color. So I can go looking in properties, and I can find the font color. And if I click on font color, notice I get this little downward arrow. And so I can click on that little downward arrow, and I can go to customize. And I can pick, well, I lost that in the process of doing a picture. I can pick a color that I would like it to be. So if I want it to be red, notice the name has now changed to red. Okay, so I get to set, in this case, a couple of properties. One property was giving it the name, and that was the text property, where I gave it the word name. And then I set the font color property so that I could give it a color of red. Okay? And then right above that is font. And so if I click on the three dots, sometimes it's three dots, sometimes it's a downward arrow. Basically, whichever it is means you're going to have options. So I'm clicking on the three dots, and it's coming up and saying, okay, you can pick the font that you want, you can make it bold, and you can make it a different size. So I can really make some changes. So I'm going to say I want it to be bold, and I want it to be 12. And then I click OK, and notice that the name is now red, bold, and bigger. Okay, because I made it 12. So I can go in and play with any field that I put up here and change its properties to give me a look that I want. Okay, and then I made that bigger, so I'm going to just move this over next to it like that. Box is the box that I'm going to have people enter their name in. So I've now got a label that says name, and I've got a thing that they can enter their name. Okay? So, when they enter their name, I want to come out and give, say hello to them. So I'm going to put in another text box, and I can just drag it over and then position it. Okay, so there's the text box that I want to put up there. And I'm going to call that TXT greet, because I'm going to greet the person. And now I want to put on a button. So I'm going to go look for a button. And I can either bring it over and draw it, or I can drag it over. Okay, I can either drag it over, or I can click on it and then come back to the form and kind of draw it. It's my choice how I want to do this. So I'm going to call this button click. So I go to the name, and I change the name to button click. Because that's what I want them to do, is click that button. So I've now changed it to button click. And then I want to change what says on it, so I'm going to go to that text property. And on the text property, I'm going to write the message that says, click here. Now this is text that I want on here, so I can have an embedded space in it. When I make up a name for it, like button click, no embedded spaces. And one of the reasons I talked about that so much in JavaScript is that no other language lets you have embedded spaces the way that, I mean in Access, I didn't mean JavaScript, in Access. Okay, so now I've got the text saying, click here. Okay, so I've got a button, I've got two text boxes, and I've got a label. Okay, so those are the things that I've got. This is a label. These are text boxes. And this is a button. And I drag them over. So now what I want to do is I want to put in some code. And the code I want to put in is I want to say hello to the person. Okay? So I go over here and I click on the button, double click on it. And when I double click on it, an area where I can write the code comes up. And Microsoft has put a whole load of things in there. But the important thing is that it is calling it button click underscore click, meaning the click event associated with this button. Meaning when you click this button, something will happen. So it's the click event associated with it. And up here you've got a list of events. And the one we're going to be using most of the time is the click event. So, now I got to remember what I call things. Okay. There's the form name. This is the list of things that I've got on the form. So if I forget what I call something, I can go over and look over there and see what I called it. Okay, so clicking on that button will show me what I've got there. So I want text greet. So I'm going to put in here. Text greet. And then I say dot text. I'm actually going to make the the box here, just a sec. I'm going to make this, change the pins so I get more room. So I made the go down. I made the toolbox get down. Yeah. Okay, it depends on what you need. You know what that's doing, Eric? Come look at that.
So we have to start over.
Did you see Sean too? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now I've got textgreet.txt. Now what I've got here is I've got the name of my button, the name of my area, the text box, called textgreet. And I'm saying it's the text property of that I want to change. So I say .txt, because I want to change the text property. Okay? So I want to change the text property. And I say equal, and then I say, let's say I'm going to say hello. So I'm going to write hello. Concatenated with text name dot text. Okay, so I've said I want to say textgreet dot text is going to be equal to hello with a space after it, just like we did in JavaScript, so that things won't get smooshed together. Concatenated with text name.txt. Okay, so I've got textgreet.txt equals hello concatenated with text name.txt. Everybody got that? So now I've got the form up here two ways. I've got the design and I've got the VB. Okay, so notice I've got open here the form and the form in design mode. So I am clicking on the form in design mode. And that brings me back to the form. If I want to see the code again, I can click on the form1.vb, and that brings me back to the code. So I can go back and forth. Okay, so now I want to run it. So I'm going to click on this green arrow to start it. Okay, so I've got the green sideways arrow, or whatever it is, the triangles, and I'm going to click on that. Okay. And all of these diagnostic tools you can make go away. That's one thing I've noticed between and version 5 is that they give you more information than you ever want to know.
I have build errors online.
Okay, well, we will take a look at them. Eric will come and take a look at them. So I'm going to say name, and I'm going to put in the person's name. So I'm entering Susan. And then when I say click here, it says, hello, Susan. Because that's what I told it to do. I told it that I wanted to see the code. Okay. Okay. And the code that I had, if I come back over here and double click, there's the code and there's the output. And let's make all of these go away. All of these are wonderful diagnostic tools, but not at the point that we're at. Come on. Okay, so there is the code and there is the result. So I said I wanted this box, which is called TextReat. I want to change the text property. Which was empty. There was nothing in it. And what I want to put in it is hello, and I want to concatenate with it the name that came in the name box. Okay. I want you to pretend this never happened, and I want you to start doing one on your own. I want you to start from the beginning and go through it. If you want to make some changes, you could have a first name and a last name up here and say hello, concatenated with first name, concatenated with last name, and make it more interesting. But I want you to go through and start from scratch and do this so that you, I'm sure that you're comfortable with the steps. So just start from scratch and do a whole new project, give it a new name and everything, and go through all of the steps. Little bit of change of color, do a little bit of change of font, come down here and change the color of font down there on the hello or whatever, but do something like that. How many of you have pictures of this? That would be a zero, all right. You don't have VBA. Well, that's for at home, so just get that for now. Just put the X there. Come over here to CIS. CIS software should be up there someplace. Come over here. That's what I suspected. That's what I wanted to see what yours was. So you're logged in wrong. So you got to log out, log back in. So get out of this and then log back in.
Trade, my friend. That's all there is. Excuse me. See, there's one right there.
Right.
project. Environmental areas and project. And Eric, do you remember where you go to get the toolbox?
Yes.
Where?
It's an edit.
In the edit?
Yeah. The problem is you have to put the design mode.
If the toolbox isn't there, apparently it's under view. Once you get used to it, honest, it's easier than the rest, but yes, you have to get used to the layout. And you have to remember where things are, and that's my problem. Is okay, I know if I click on something, I'm going to find the toolbox, but which one is it that I'm going to click on? Yeah. Pardon me? You go and click on that green arrow went by the side. Takes forever. But eventually, because now it's much worse. Now they're coming up with all this junk. Okay, so you're all set now. Okay? So now go play with some color, play with some other stuff like that. And, you know, if you've got it working, go play with color. You can set a background color for the whole form. One of the things is a form one. You can set the background property for that. There's a lot of stuff you can kind of play with on this. Got something up? How you doing? You can name it anything you want to, but for your own sanity, if you're doing something complex, it's better to give it a meaningful name. But in fact, you can name it. Okay, you're lost. What?
I came up.
Okay, close that down. Log in correctly? No. It doesn't look like it. Do you see CIS software anywhere? I don't see it anywhere, so get back out and come back in. You just get out totally. What they've done is they've set things up so you have to log into that K-Building CIS.
Yeah.
So go ahead and log in, and then the next screen is where you make the choice. Okay, so now you have to pick K-Building CIS.
This way I have to go every
day. Yeah, when you're using Visual Basic. If you're using any of the software that they consider part of the CIS department, they make you log in that way to get there. Okay? Because since it's a virtual machine, they basically want to direct you in a certain way. Okay, how are we doing? Good. Change the color, change the, you know, go in and work on it and make it interesting. Change some size, change some font, change some color.
Is everybody got something happening? Yeah.
All right, something good happening.
Yes, it's not bad. Just finished the
building. Okay.
So I built from scratch.
All right, so now click here. Double click
okay,
on that.
Well,
oh, all right.
Do I still need to
name that? Yes. And so scroll up to the name. The name happens to come near the top, even though they claim it's alphabetic. So there it is, greeting. So you've named that greeting. Better to have named it text greeting, but greeting is okay. Oh, TXT, sorry.
TXT. Does it have to be?
No, it can be apples. But the convention is that you name text boxes TXT and then a name. So that's the convention.
Okay.
And then what did you name this one? You did that one right, TXT name.
Okay.
And then this one is, let's see what you named that. Okay, that one should be TXT button. I'm sorry, BTN. BTN.
BTN.
And then maybe click or something like that, because that's what you want to do.
Call
the click button. And so I called it button click.
Okay,
so now you're all set. So now come over here and double click on that. Okay, and now you're at where I am. And so you're going to write text, only you called it greeting. So you're going to write text greeting dot text. And this dot text is referring to the property. It's the text property that I want to change. It's the text property that I'm going to change. And I want to take the text name that was added in, which is in the text property. So you want to say the text property. So you say text greeting, I think you have, dot text equals, and then the literal hello, the same way you did it in JavaScript. And I'm going to keep saying the same way you did it in, because there's just a lot of matching that's going on. Okay, is it finally coming up?
Yeah, it's
all right, now click on CIS software and then choose Visual Studio 2015. And then we get to wait again. Eric,
yeah.
Would you go over, because he's just logging in for the first time. He was late.
No, that's what I'm wondering too.
No, there's
okay, so again, these are the four things that you should have. Notice this is the name that I gave it, and this is the form that I'm using, which is called Form 1. I could also rename that. then here are the properties. And I can see the properties of anything that is on the form. It has a list of the properties there, but I can also click on something. And if I just click on an empty space, then, whoops, I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to double click. If I click on an empty space, then it says, oh, you must be talking about the form. And it gives you the information about the form. And you can set the form. So, for example, right now the text for the form says Form 1. If I want to change that, I can say Greeting Form. And notice what happens, that up there changes at the top of the form. I now have a new title for the form. Okay? So I can set properties for the form, and the text ends up being a title. So I end up with the text being the title on the form. Okay? So there's a whole load of bells and whistles that you can work with in this. Okay. So I need to have the Solution Explorer, which gives the name and the name of the form. I need to have the properties. I need to have the toolbox if I'm building the form. If I'm not building the form, if I'm done building it, then I can put the toolbox over on the side again. Unpin it, and it will just sit there on the side. Okay, and that just gives me more room. So if I finish building my form, I tend to click on this pin up here and make it go sideways, and then the toolbox just lies over at the side. If I want it again, I can get it back. Okay, so I can close the ink layer. I can click on this pin, and now it's over there on the side under Toolbox. And if I want to see it again, I just click on the toolbox, and if I want it to stay with me, I click on the pin, and I've now got it to stay. Okay? So, now what I need to do is look at how it's stored it. Okay, so if I come over here and I go to my F drive, which is I think where I saved it, and I called it first. Thought I called it first, and I thought I put it on the F drive, but maybe I put it on the E drive. Okay. Can anybody spell better than I can?
What are you trying to spell?
I call this first 11, right?
Yeah.
And I thought I put it on my F drive. So I am looking on my F drive. There it is. I don't know how I didn't see it before, but there it is. Okay, I just can't do letters of the alphabet, apparently. So there is first 11, November 10th, 2016. And if I look at this, you can see that it's got a lot of stuff in there. And that's why I said you need to give me a zipped version of it, because all that stuff is necessary. Okay? So that's why I said you got to give me the zipped version of it. You would need to zip it up and send me the zipped versions. Okay, now before I leave this, I'm going to do a file save all. Because I want to make sure that I've saved everything. So I'm doing a file save all. And in fact, it's better when you're doing a bunch of stuff to save periodically. So that if it crashes, you've got the latest version of it. So I usually, and this is true of anything I do in programming, I save about every 15 minutes. Because that's about how much time I'm willing to put into having to reiterate something that I've already done. So I save every 10 or 15 minutes. So if things crash, I've got it a version that's no more than 15 minutes old. Okay? So I'm going to do a file save all. Okay, so I'm doing file save all. And that will save the latest version.
I saved the previous project on the code. What was it? Hello Academy.
Yeah.
For the code?
Yep.
Text. Okay, it's text name. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm just doing another one for practice.
Okay. So that's what we've got. Okay, now I'm going to look at some examples that I have. And I think I just closed Visual Basic, and that's not what I meant to do. Okay. I did not mean to close you, sorry. Okay, this time what I want to do is open a project. Okay, so I click on Open Project, and I can go to my F drive, which is where I saved the project we just did, and I can find that project. I can click on it and it will open.
So you save all?
I save all.
Okay. And it just automatically saved it there.
It saves everything. You've already told it where you want to save it.
Okay.
You've already told it the name you want to save it under, and you've already told it the location. And I put the location as the F drive. But if I wanted to, I could have chosen a particular folder that already existed on the F drive. Like my at home, I have a VB Fall 2016. So that anything I write, I save in the subfolder of Fall 2016. Okay, so you can save it in a subfolder too. It's just you want a folder for each project. Okay? So, now I've opened it, and I can go into design and everything. So I went back and I opened it. Okay? So again, if I do a file close solution, I've just closed it. And then I can do a file open, and it's a project solution that I want to open. I think on the community version, it either says project or solution. I don't think it says both. But it says one or the other of that. So I want to open a project solution. It then comes up and lets me choose where I want to open it. I want to open it from the F drive. And I want to find that particular one that I did, first 11. I click on it. Then when this comes up here, I click on the bottom thing. I click on this. okay, the first 11 November, and it comes up. Okay, so that's how I open it.
The extension is SLN, right?
Yes, yes. Yes, it is. Okay, so now I can then again close the solution, and I don't have anything open. Okay, now, back under my examples, if you go back to the home page and you look under programs, I've got some versions, and I played with them this weekend to make sure they would work on the 215, and I should put a slash 215 there because they were working fine. Okay, there was no problem with going from the ones that I wrote in the past. So these are the programs, some sample programs that I have out there. Notice they're all zipped up. So basically you can download these and then you can unzip them. Okay, so let's try, I don't remember whether it's First Math or Basic Math that I want, but let's try open downloading and unzipping one of them. And at some point, what I would do at home or something is I would do what I did the other night and downloaded all of these and unzip them all so they're all on my flash drive. And then I've got easy access to them. And let me find out which one I want, First Math or File, Open. Yeah, it's First Math that I, Basic Math that I want to do first. So Basic Math is the one I want to do. So try downloading that. Because we're not going to have time to do more than one anyway. So download Basic Math and unzip it. If anybody's having problems with it, Eric is available. Okay. You got it downloaded and unzipped?
This is supposed to open as a project?
No, just unzipping it. We're going to open it as a project.
Because I opened it as a project.
That's fine. Because now I'm going to say File, Open, and then Project Solution. And I'm going to paste that so people at home can see it. Okay. So I'm saying File, Open, and then I brought up Basic Math, and I click on Basic Math, and I click on the one down here. Okay, the bottom one. The one that says Microsoft Visual Studio Solution. Okay, so now I click on that and I open it.
So on this one, I have a couple of labels. I have a couple of text boxes. I have another text box at the bottom, and I've got four buttons.
Okay? So, for example, my first button says add, and I called, the text on it says add. And if I scroll up, it's going to say button add or something like that. It says button add. And my next one says button subtract, and the next one says button multiply, and the next one says button divide. So I've got a whole lot of buttons. You look confused.
No, it doesn't open the project. I have the project.
Okay, if it doesn't open right also, come over here and click on form, and that will open it. That will show you the form. If the form didn't come up, just go and click on form to let it know you want to see the form. So here I have, if I double click on one of these, it brings up the code. Now notice I made a subroutine for add, subtract, multiply, divide, and apparently I also had one to close it. I think I may have made that button go away. I didn't see it, but anyway. The first one is button add. And text answer is what I call the bottom one, where I want to put the answer. And text first and text second are what I called the two fields. Okay, now, if you noticed, Visual Basic has the same problem that JavaScript did, and that is the plus can mean two things. The plus can mean add, and the plus can mean concatenate. Okay, remember when we said hello, plus, that was concatenating. Now I want to add. We have the same problem that we had in JavaScript. In JavaScript, I had to use parse float or parse integer or something. Here, I can use cint, which converts to an integer. So cint is the same as parse integer. I can also, there's a whole bunch of other ones you can get, and I can also use the word val for val, make it a numeric value. So either one of those will work. Right now, notice that I have a single quote in front of two of these lines. That single quote makes it a comment, which means it won't be executed. So I have three lines there, but two of them have the single quote in front, which means they have been what we call commented out, meaning they've been turned into a comment. And so they will not execute. Okay. Now, when you program, commenting is a lovely thing. You should make comments that will help somebody else who picks up your program know what to do. I'm not pushing commenting as much because I want to be able to see, have you see the code, and comments kind of get in the way of seeing the code. So I don't. A lot of instructors will push commenting more than I do. I'm telling you that when you get out and you want to take a sample program to a boss, comment it to death so that it shows that you know what's doing and that you know how to comment. Out in the real world, the problem with commenting is that people comment their program when they write it and they forget to change the comments when they fix it. So 5 years later, any resemblance between the program you wrote and the program that was commented is strictly coincidental. So that's my other complaint about commenting. But it's a good thing to do. Here I'm commenting only to show that how things work. So I'm going to click the start button. And keep the code up there so you can see it. So I'm putting I'm put a 5 in here and a 6 here. And I'm saying, no, I did have the close button. And then I click on add, and notice what I get. 56. So did it add?
No.
It concatenated, right? I put in a 5 and a 6. It concatenated them together as 1. Because 5, huh?
We both got 11.
That's probably because you have something different commented out. Look and see what you have commented out. I have that one commented open. You probably have the bottom one open?
Both are closed.
Okay, so you've got the...
Well, the bottom one's open.
Okay, so if that one's open, that's the one that does the conversion.
Okay.
So that should be working. Okay, but if you have the top one, the one that's being executed, this one is taking 5 and 6 and concatenating them to 56. Okay, this is the result that comes out of the top one there. Okay, I'm concatenating them together. Now I'm going to go in and change it. And to change it, I got to stop the program. So I'm clicking on close, which does a close. But I have to close the Inclia first. Close, and it closes it. Okay, so now I'm going to change, and I'm going to put the quote, the single quote there, and take it off the last one, which is apparently the way you had it. I was playing with them. So now if I run them, come over here, start, and I run them, and I put in 56, 5 and 6 rather, and add them, I'm getting 11. Because this one is doing the bottom one, which is doing the convert to an integer. And so since it converted it to an integer, it's adding. So two of the three statements there work, because value works too. The top one doesn't work. The top one concatenates. Okay. Now, if I click on subtract, it gives me a negative 1, which is right. If I take 5 and subtract 6 from it, I get a negative 1, right? When I click on multiply, I get 30, and that's right. And when I click on divide, I get 0.833, which is 5/6, so that's right. Okay. So I am getting the right answers on all of these. And when I put up a button that said close, I said me.close. And that means close the form. Me refers to the form. And so it's saying, do the close function on the form. You never need that because you can always use the X up here. But the X closes the form. And if you have a close button, you put in me.close. And it's a close function, so you have the parenthesis after it. Okay. So in this one, I have basic math going on. And the only one I have to be careful of is the add, and I have to be careful of it in the same way you had to be careful of it in JavaScript. That if you don't do the conversion, you're going to get concatenating instead of adding. Questions?
So there's multiple JavaScript code in here.
Multiple JavaScript, no.
I mean,
Visual Basic.
Visual Basic, yeah. And I see they separate it to that.
That's right, because on each one, okay, so now if I come out of here and stop this, and I go back to the design mode on the form, and I bring up the toolbox and lock it in place, and I find button, and I drag it over here. And this button, okay, I've now dragged another button over, right? And if I double click on that button, look what happens. It makes a subroutine called button one click, waiting for me to put something into it.
Highlighted in your...
Huh?
It's highlighted, so that means it needs properties in it.
So this is now waiting, the focus is there, it's waiting for me to put code in. So I made, on the other one, I made five buttons. And what I did is, each time I made a button, I double-clicked on it, it came up and made a private subroutine of that name, and then I put in the code that I wanted there. So when I clicked on, double-clicked on button divide, it made this button divide underscore click subroutine. And it added in all the stuff at the end that you don't need to worry about, just leave it alone. And so it comes up and it makes the, in this case, button one click because I didn't change the name of it. And then it has an end sub, so these are subroutines. And in the subroutine, a subroutine is called a subroutine, it's called a procedure, it's called a module, and it probably has 10 other names, okay? But a subroutine... procedure, module. The book has a section on modules that I think is the next chapter I'm going to ask you to read. Notice your book does a lot with flowcharting, so pay attention to the flowcharting it does. Okay, but a subroutine can also be called a procedure or a module. And so each button I made, I double-clicked on it, and then after I double-clicked on it, I put the code inside to do what I wanted to do. In this case, I wanted to divide. In this one, I figured out what I wanted to get. Okay? But that makes a subroutine that I can work with. Anybody else got a question? I like that question. Because that's something I should have thought of to point out. Yeah.
The coding at the top of the box that says math.
Yes. That is on the form, and that's the text of the form. So if I click any blank place on the form, that makes the form, and there's the text. And in this particular one, I also changed the name of the form and called it Form Math as opposed to the default, which is Form 1. Okay? I actually changed it and called it Form Math. If you're doing multiple forms, then it's a good idea to do that. We're just doing one form, so I just left it as Form 1. Questions? Okay. Advisement is happening now. You should sign up or email whoever your advisor is and deal with it. The problem becomes if you leave signing up for classes till the last minute. Lots of times they get canceled because if there's less than 10 people signed up for the class, they frequently cancel the class more than a week before the end of the time, before the school starts. And so your class gets canceled and then you can't take it. So it just makes sense for your own sakes to sign up for the course and make sure it carries if you need the course. So if you need a course, you should definitely sign up for it and make sure it's going to carry. Because, you know, it's happened where I can remember it was Janelle or Igor or somebody had a class that was like 7. It got canceled. There were at least 3 other people that wanted to take that class, but they hadn't signed up for it yet. So it got canceled and nobody got to take it. So sign up for the classes, you know, soon. Definitely sign up by the end of the semester if you possibly, possibly can. Because they do cancel classes if they don't have enough enrollment. And it makes no sense. You have to pay at the same time anyway. So you can sign up today and you still have to pay in January. Or you can sign up in January and you have to pay in January. So there's no advantage to not signing up. You still have to pay at the same time. So I'm nagging you.